Well, I'm sure glad to be here. This has been a real treat to be home for a couple of weeks, and just I am so glad we made plans to do it this way, because we really needed this time to get packed up and get ready. And boy, so many things come up at the last minute that you have to tend to, and I'm just glad that the Lord gave us the wisdom, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to just clear this month off my calendar and come home and get ready to go. And boy, I can really see the wisdom in that now. And we've been able to do a lot of different things. Of course, I've been busy packing. I've been busy taking care of the last-minute paperwork. We've been up to the Ukrainian consulate in Chicago. We've got our visas. They're all approved and ready to go. We were able to get a multiple entry visa, which is very good. That means if we need to cross the Ukrainian border to go into Romania or Hungary or if we need to leave the country for any reason to get supplies, whatever, we'll be able to cross the border as many times as necessary while we're there. It's a relatively long-term visa. We were hoping for a three-year visa. They approved a year and a half. They said they've got some new paperwork coming in September. If we would have waited until September, we could have got a three-year visa, but it's not going to be a problem. It's a very good set of paperwork that we got. We're happy with it. We've got most of our stuff packed up. We do have some more things that needs to be decided on whether we're going to take it or not, but we're doing well. I'll probably have a U-Haul truck full of stuff to bring up to the airport after church on Wednesday night. I think the way I'm going to do it, I think after church on Wednesday night, we have reserved a hotel room in the airport at the Hilton Hotel there inside the airport. I want to get up there. I want to get settled in, get all my bags checked, and just have a place to be at the airport on Thursday. So as soon as church is over Wednesday night, we're just going to hop in a U-Haul and go. I may need someone to ride along with us and bring the U-Haul back home. I don't think U-Haul wants to wait 4 years for me to get it back. But so we're making, the preparations are all falling into place. I've been able to spend some time with my wife's family up in South Holland, Illinois. We've been able to see her parents several times in the last few weeks. We'll probably see them again this week. I've been able to see my parents. They came down, spent a couple of days. I think they just went back home last night. Had a little bit of a family reunion at my brother's house yesterday. My brother Bob was there. My brother Jerry was there. They had their families. My youngest brother Randy, who lives in Michigan, lives just a few miles from my parents' house. He came down with his family. I hadn't seen him for a while, and it was a very good. It's just been a very good time here. It's been good seeing you folks again, get to know you again. It's been so long. You know, I'm meeting your kids again and seeing how they're growing up and how their personalities are developing. And it's been a blessing and a pleasure to be home. Let me get into the lesson here. I could probably ramble on for too long. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I just want to talk to you a little bit about this morning about the Christian life and some things we ought to be mindful of, maybe things we don't think about often enough. I think if we'll get there's a thought in this chapter that I think if we'll get a hold of it, it'll really change the way we live our Christian life and the way we serve the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm in 1 Timothy here. I get it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's begin reading in verse 1. We'll read a few verses here. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is not the lesson, but that's a good verse for a missionary to take to the field with them. Amen. I think that's a good plan for a missionary who goes to the field. You the things that you've heard, you take them out and you commit those things to faithful men. Amen. And they'll be able to teach others also. I think that's a tremendous blueprint for a missionary ministry, to go to the field, take the things that you've learned, and teach it to some faithful men, and so that they can carry on and teach others also. Verse 3 is the text verse for my lesson this morning. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And we'll stop there. I want to point out in verse 3, it says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to talk this morning about being a good soldier. And let's take a moment and pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time. We'll get into the lesson. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'd help me as I bring these thoughts that I believe you've laid on my heart for this morning. I pray you'd clear my mind and help me to say those things you want me to say. Lord, give us a blessing. Meet with us. We need your Spirit's power. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Bible says we ought to be a good soldier. It's not popular today to think about the Christian life as being warfare. But we as Christians are soldiers. And I think we'll be a lot better Christians if we will think of ourselves as soldiers. That's one of the problems I have with this modern worship music that so many churches are going to. It sounds good when you first hear about it, but I've been in some churches that are starting to use it, some good churches that are starting to use this worship music. And, you know, it's a kind of a thing where everybody just kind of holds hands and sways back and forth and sings Kumbaya around a campfire. And it's supposed to draw your heart closer to God, and it sounds like that ought to be good, but, you know, I feel like there's... When I'm in there, you can just feel there's something wrong. And if I hadn't been in good churches all my life, I might not be able to put my finger on what the difference is. But see, I've been around. Yeah. I've been in an independent fundamental Baptist church since I was 6 years old. 4 years old. I'm sorry, I got saved when I was six. Been in a good church since I was 4 years old. And I've, you know, you soak up the atmosphere. You soak up, you know what's right because you're so familiar with it. And then when you hear something that's different, you have the background to figure out what it is that's different. And you know what's missing in this new worship music is it doesn't have a march beat to it. You know, so many of our best Christian songs are written to a march beat because we are God's soldiers. And the best Christian music, revival music, has a march beat to it. Onward, Christian soldiers, because we're marching on to war. It's a warfare that we're involved in, and we need to be good soldiers. And, you know, I've never been in the military, but I cannot imagine a bunch of soldiers getting ready to go out in combat, sitting around a campfire and singing Kumbaya. this very repetitive chanting. I mean, it's almost like they're doing some kind of a Hare Krishna thing. I mean, it just, Lord, we love you. And then they'll say that about 10 times. Lord, we love you. And you say, well, you're preaching against some good music. You know, what's good is not always appropriate.
That's right.
We're soldiers. And if we'll think about ourselves as soldiers, and the music in a good church ought to prepare us to go forth to battle. That's the mindset we need to be. Can you imagine what a soldier would be like? I've used this illustration in another message that I bring. But imagine a soldier. Who's in the middle of combat. I mean, World War I, down in the trenches and machine gun bullets flying over your head and shell fire erupting all around you. And some guy says, you know, I think I'm just going to go out and enjoy the beautiful day. He gets up, starts walking across no man's land. He's going to be cut in half by that machine gun fire. He needs to be mindful. He needs to be in a mindset of warfare and battle because that's what's going on around him. And if we just kind of go through the Christian life with this touchy-feely, feel good, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, and you know, let's just all be... You need to remember that you're in combat.
That's right.
We need to be good soldiers. Now, there's a lot of things that a good soldier does, and I'm sure this kind of message has been brought before. I didn't research and look up and see, and I may have messed... I just thought, you know, what are the marks of a good soldier? I'm sure this has been done before. I'm not... trying to be original here, but this is just the way I thought. I may have missed the most obvious stuff. I'll probably find a sermon somewhere where somebody did this, and I missed some good ones. But these are the ones I thought of. A good soldier, number one, a good soldier obeys commands. A good soldier obeys commands. Now, as soldiers, we need to obey the commands. And the commands in the military are not very complicated, usually. I mean, it's go here, do this. It's a place to be and a thing to do. And it's usually a very simple thing to do. Our commands in the Christian life are not that complicated.
That's right.
There are things we're supposed to be doing. We have commands. And it's not suggestions, it's commands.
Right.
We've been commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Now, that's not too complicated. It might be difficult. It might be hard to figure out how to accomplish, but it's actually very simple. We know what we're supposed to be doing. And we know... if we're not doing it, it's very easy to tell that we're not doing what we're commanded to do. A good soldier obeys commands. Number two, a good soldier wears his uniform.
Right.
I believe it's against military regulations for a soldier to go out even in public. And in most cases, I believe it's against their rules for them to go out without the uniform to show that they are a member of the army.
Right.
And you know, a Christian as a member of God's army is supposed to look a certain way.
That's right.
People ought to be able to tell by looking at you that you're part of God's army. I've been soul winning where, you know, we're all knocking the door and this guy come to the door and he's got an earring and long hair and a bone in his nose or whatever the fashion is at the time, and he'll come to the door, you know, and he's got tattoos up and down his arms and smoking a cigarette and can of beer in his hand, and I'll get to witnessing to him and say, "Oh yeah, man, I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, I love Jesus." I think, well, man, I couldn't tell by looking at you.
That's right.
Seems to me like if you're in the army, you don't want to put the uniform on.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was in the Civil War, I'd be wanting to wear either blue or gray, one or the other. There was an old Red Skelton bit where he was in the Civil War, and he didn't want to get shot at, so he got out. He was a tailor, and he stitched him up a uniform that was blue on one side and gray on the other, and he got him like a flagpole or something, and he was marching right down the middle of the combat zone. So the gray, you know, saw that he was gray, and the blue saw that he was blue. Well, he marched down here, and then he had to turn around and go back the other way. And as soon as he turned around, I mean, they both started shooting at him. But you need to put your uniform on. People need to know what side you're on. I want people to know what side I'm on.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, I was in the airport in Kiev just before we came home this last time, a couple months ago. And, you know, there's businessmen walking back and forth, kind of a busy place, and people and travelers and everything. And I saw this couple with about three or four kids. And the lady had a dress down to about here. And the guy, he wasn't in a suit and tie, but he was, you know, nicely dressed. And the little girls had dresses on. The little boys were properly dressed. And I thought, they got to be Christians. And I walked up to them just, you know, probably nobody there spoke English, but I thought, I said, you guys got to be missionaries. And I said, yeah, how did you know? I said, well, I could tell by looking the way you dress, the way you behave. They had a uniform on.
Yeah.
People ought to be able to tell. You ought to have the uniform on. A good soldier wears his uniform. The next thing, a good soldier gets rewarded if he does a good job.
Yeah.
I'm glad about that. You know, when a soldier does a good job, they have a system to where he's rewarded. They've got a system of medals. I mean, they'll give him a little ribbon to put on his jacket. They'll give him a citation. They'll give him rewards. If he does a good job, he can get a promotion, get an increase in pay, an increase in rank. But a good soldier is rewarded by his commander.
That's right.
And that may not have to be our primary motivation, but I think that's a good thing to remember. Because our commander is going to reward us.
Amen.
If we do a good job. If we're good soldiers, we will be rewarded. A good soldier will be rewarded. I'm looking forward to that day.
Yes.
I'm not living my life for what I get out of it, but I'm going to get something out of it.
That's right.
And I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And I praise the Lord. A good soldier gets rewarded. You know, a good soldier, number four, a good soldier doesn't choose where he will live. You don't go into the army and they say, okay, now which army base would you like to be stationed at? Now, they have a thing where they're called orders, and they give you your orders, and whatever is convenient for them is where you go. And if they decide that you're stationed in Hawaii, well, praise the Lord, that's good. But if they decide you're stationed at the South Pole or something, you got to go. A good soldier doesn't get to choose where he lives. A soldier doesn't have the right to choose what he wants to do. And we are, if we're going to be good soldiers, we better keep that in mind. We don't have the right to choose what we want to do with our own life.
That's good. Man.
If I was going to choose what I want to do with my life, I don't think I'd be leaving on Thursday. That's really not my choice. That's not my preference. I'm glad I'm going to be doing it because I know that's what the Lord wants me to do. It really wouldn't be my first choice. But it doesn't matter. Because I don't get to make that choice.
Amen.
That frees me from having to agonize over what I'm going to do. Because as a good soldier, I don't get to choose where I live. And in many ways, that's a blessing. We don't have to agonize over that. We don't have to wrestle with that decision.
Right.
Somebody who's smarter than us and has a bigger picture than us has it all figured out where we need to be.
Right.
A good soldier doesn't choose where he will live. Number five, a good soldier doesn't choose where he's going to fight. As a soldier, you don't decide, you know what, this would be a good place to start hostilities. You know, let's get all these machine guns out of the box and let's just start fighting right here. No, they make their preparations. They don't know when they're going to be called to go to battle. They make the preparations, they do what they're supposed to do, but when the commander says it's time to go to fight, the commander tells them where to fight, tells them how to fight, tells them what they're supposed to do in the fight. But a good soldier doesn't get to choose where he will fight. There's a lot of causes that we would like to be involved in. I'd like to be in, you know, I hate abortion as much as anybody. If I didn't have more divine guidance than I've got, I might really get involved in the anti-abortion cause. I think that's a good cause. But see, I don't get to choose what battle I fight.
That's right. Good.
My cause is the salvation of souls around the world. That's the cause that God has given me. Now, you look through the scriptures, there's a lot of things we're supposed to be doing, but the main cause is supposed to be after the souls of men. We don't get to choose where we fight. God makes those decisions for us. Number six, a good soldier does not get entangled with the things of the world. In the scripture here, verse 4, 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. I was doing some study on some of the great battles of the world, the great military campaigns of history. I read about a battle called the Battle of Kadesh. It was fought in the Middle East. The Hittites were the strong, were the major force in what we now know as Israel and Palestine, and then the Egyptians were also very strong. And they fought at a place called the Battle of Kadesh. Now, one of the weaknesses in the Hittite military system was they didn't pay their soldiers. They said, you get paid by when you attack and defeat the enemy, you get to plunder and you get to keep whatever you can get from the enemy. Well, when they went into battle, the Hittites made a tremendous advance until they got to the Egyptian camp. As soon as they got to the Egyptian camp, all the Hittite soldiers started running into the Egyptians' tents and stealing all their stuff. And because of that, they all quit fighting, and the Egyptians had them surrounded, and they wiped them out. They thought, man, look at all this stuff. Man, we're fighting, and we could be gathering up all this stuff. And they got gathering up stuff, and they got wiped out. Well, I see that all over America. People are supposed to be fighting a battle, and they get their eyes on stuff. And they think, man, look at all this stuff. Man, you can live a pretty nice life in the United States of America today. You can get a good job. You can make some money. You can have a nice house. You can have some nice things. Get a big screen TV. You can, you can have a nice car. You can get a boat. You can have all kinds of nice things. And there's nothing wrong with having nice things as long as it doesn't get in the way of you fighting a battle. The Hittites found out in the Battle of Kadesh that when they quit fighting and started gathering up stuff, they got creamed. And I'm afraid that's what's happening a lot in America today. I've seen a lot of that around America today. I mean, people have stuff, but they're not in a fight. They are not involved in what they're supposed to be involved in. They are getting entangled with the things of the world. The next thing, a good soldier does things that are hard. You know, I think it would do all of us some good to read some military history. Now, I like military history. If I've got a book in my hand, probably more than half the time, it's some kind of a military history. It's, you know, World War II or the Civil War. I enjoy military history. I'm not saying that everybody ought to have to make that your primary enjoyment in reading. But I think all of us ought to read something about what it's like to be in war. We don't seem to understand what men had to go through to get us what we have today. You understand how awful it is to be in combat? I mean, we think somehow, you know, it'd be neat to run out there against the enemy with a machine gun and bombs going off and you know, pull a grenade with your teeth and throw it like that. And we get the impression, if we haven't gotten down to the details, we get the impression that it's exciting and fun. But war is hard. They got to go through some awful stuff. They got to go through the mud. You go back and read about the Revolutionary War, what those guys had to go through. They didn't have enough money to buy shoes for them. They had to walk through the snow in their bare feet, leaving bloody tracks in the snow. A soldier has to do things that are hard. And if we would read a little more about war and the history that has built our civilization, if we would read a little bit more about war, we wouldn't be so quick to whine about what we have to go through.
That's right.
I cannot imagine complaining about the things that I have to go through when I think about what soldiers have to go through. There's a guy named George Rogers Clark who did a lot of combat during the Revolutionary War in this part of the country. This was the frontier back then. The British had some forts, and George Rogers Clark would lead a small force of men through the wilderness to attack these British forts. And they had to go through, there were swamps in southern Indiana that they had to go through in early winter, where they were up to their necks in water that was almost freezing. Had a layer of ice on top of it. And they had to hold their guns up over their heads, because back then you get your gun wet, it wouldn't work. I mean, that's where they had to pour the powder in and pack it down. And they would do this for day after day after day. And if one of the air conditioning units breaks down at the church where it's going to be a little more stuffy than usual, we'll just stay home, because, you know, I just don't want to go through all that. If you're a good soldier, you do hard things. Well, I'd get into bus ministry, but you know what the bus ministry is. That's tough. Man, I'd go help Mount Junior Church, but that's hard. I'm not going to do that. You know, soldiers do hard things. Soldiers do hard things. I get Brother Vineyard's, this, where'd I put it? I lost it. I got it in the pew back there. I got to read this story. I see it on the pew back there. Well, I guess Lord. Oh, here it is. Where'd it go? I can't find it. Brother Vineyard just took a trip to the Philippines. He preached there while he was there, met with some of the missionaries, but he has a son that lives there and is a missionary there. His grandchildren, Brother Vineyard's grandchildren, are there. He talks about going there. He spent several days. He preached in the churches of the missionaries that he knows. Spent some time with his grandkids, took them out for fishing for a day. Doesn't get to see them but about once a year, if that. As he's leaving to go to the airport, he says, we headed out to the airport. Little Andrea June Vineyard, age 8, rode in my lap to the airport. You know, you think about Brother Vineyard. If you know Brother Vineyard, he's been here. You think he's just a tough old bird, former Green Beret soldier. I mean, he just tough as nails. That guy's got a heart as big as Texas. He 8-year-old granddaughter in his lap on the way to the airport. I asked her, Andrea, what is Grandpa going to do next week? When he's home in Oklahoma, and he begins to miss his little granddaughter, Andrea, so much, what's he going to do? She shook her pretty little head and said so sadly, Grandpa, I don't know. Excuse me. I hugged her tightly to my chest. While holding her, the Lord directed my thoughts back to the first Wednesday I was here. May 26, when I asked in the church, he asked the people, how many of you have been saved since missionaries Paul and Rhonda Vineyard have come to the Philippines? Some 35 to 40 Filipinos held up their hand. The Lord said to me, all those precious souls who've been saved because of your son's ministry here, your son who surrendered to the Philippines as an 11-year-old lad, your son whom you always encouraged to remember that God had called him here as a missionary, those souls whom that son and his wife have been responsible for winning. In eternity, Jim, those souls were more than make it up to you for you and your dear wife missing these precious grandchildren. So I held Andrea tight and the tears ran unashamedly down my face. Now that's hard.
That's right.
Now I don't think that what I'm doing is hard. I think what my dad's doing is hard, saying goodbye to his son and his grandchildren. I don't think of what I'm doing as being something hard, but soldiers have to do hard things. And I think good soldiers don't usually think that what they're doing is hard. You get some guy over in World War II crawling on his belly through the mud with Germans shooting at him. I don't think he was thinking, maybe some of them were. Man, this is tough. but they knew it had to be done.
Right.
Soldiers do things that are hard.
Good.
Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers do hard things. Like I said, I think it'd do us all good if we just read a little bit about war. We'd be a lot less likely to complain. I cannot imagine anything that has happened in my life in the last 38 years that I have to complain about. A lot of people have done a lot of hard things than I've ever had to do. I got nothing to complain about.
Yeah.
A soldier does things that are hard. The next thing, I don't know if I'll get through all these, but a soldier puts the mission above his own life.
Right.
You know what's important to a soldier, a good soldier? He has a mission to accomplish.
Right.
You get a group of commandos or Navy SEALs, and there'll be, you know, four or five of them together, and they're going behind enemy lines to accomplish this. They got to blow up a bridge, or they have to take out an airport, or they've got to blow up an ammunition dump, or they've got a mission to accomplish. If they reach a point in that mission where one of them has to lay down his life so that the mission can be accomplished, he doesn't hesitate. Somebody throws a hand grenade in the middle of the four or five soldiers, one of those soldiers is most likely, if he's a good soldier, is going to jump on a hand grenade and absorb the blast in his own body so that the mission can go on. A good soldier puts the mission above his own life. You know what's important? The mission. We've got to accomplish something. I'm not important. We're not important. But the mission is important. And if we have to lay down our life in some way, if we have to give up something in some way, that's not important. It's the mission that's important. I used to read some of these missionary stories about these missionary martyrs. These guys go to the field and, you know, they would spend years preparing and learning the language, and they'd get down there in their first contact with the natives, have a spear thrown through them and killed. And I think, it doesn't make sense. But you know what? The Lord knew that that life would advance the mission.
That's right.
I read a book, I don't remember where you could find it now, but can't remember the missionary's name, but the name of the book was Commandos for Christ, about missionaries in South America. And he talked about how time after time they'd take a group of these guys back in the jungle to make first contact with the natives. And more often than not, they'd lose one of their men out of their mission group. They get arrows in their back. He talked about where they thought they'd made a good contact with this one tribe, and they left three of them there while the rest of them went back for supplies. When they came back, the guys were all dead, laying on the beach, full of arrows and spears, and had their heads severed and things. And he said he had a real hard time with that until he realized that the commander decides what the mission is. We just need to carry it out, and our lives are not important. A good soldier puts the mission above his own life. Number 9, a good soldier wants his commander to be pleased.
Yeah.
You ever read about some of these great generals, Patton and MacArthur, and I'm thinking of World War II generals right now, but you know, the Civil War, you had Lee and Grant and McClellan, some of these great generals, Washington in the Revolutionary War. One thing you'll find if you read enough of the history, you'll find that the men that followed them had an intense desire to make their commander happy, to do what their commander wanted. It wasn't so much important. We went to Gettysburg while we were on deputation. And we went out on that battlefield and we took the tour and they told us about it. And there was the most amazing thing right at the end there when they called it Pickett's Charge, where the entire Southern Army that was there lined up in rows and just marched across an open field to attack the Northern forces. And as the Northern forces were just cutting them down with gunfire, they just kept marching. And if the Northern forces hadn't had everything arranged just perfectly, those Southern forces would have just overrun the North. What would cause a man to march across an open field with guns shooting at him, and they marched in step. I mean, they were marching across the field. They were singing their fight songs, and they were cheering. They had bands playing. But over on the hill was General Lee, and they wanted to make General Lee happy. They wanted to do what would please the commander. They didn't care what they wanted. It wasn't important to them what they wanted. They wanted to please the commander. That's why I'm so concerned that God's people look at themselves and say, hey, I am a soldier. That I have a commander, and it's more important that I'd please the commander than that I please myself.
Amen.
If we could just get a hold of this one thought, that we need to be good soldiers, it'd change our whole lives.
Right.
It'd stop us from whining and complaining. It would stop us from getting so entangled with the things of the world. We need to be a good soldier. A good soldier wants his commander to be pleased. Number 10, a good soldier is not absent from his unit. One of the worst things a soldier can do, they call it AWOL, absent without leave. Good soldier fights in a unit. He has a group of people he's supposed to be with, and he's supposed to be there. He's not supposed to be absent. If you're absent from your military unit, you're in big trouble. They'll send the MPs out after you. They'll catch you. They'll throw you in jail and try to remind you that's where you're supposed to be. But a good soldier is not absent from his unit. He's there when he's supposed to be there. We need to remember that. We have a unit. Faith Baptist Church, Bourbonnais.
Amen.
That's our military unit.
Right.
And we're supposed to be there.
Right.
We're not supposed to be absent without leave.
Right.
Summertime, I know there's vacations. You got permission for that. But you're not supposed to be absent without leave.
Yeah.
A good soldier is not absent from his unit. Number 11, a good soldier fights the enemy, not his own soldiers. I think about the story where the disciples came to Jesus and they said, hey, we saw some guys casting out devils in your name. We told them he couldn't do that. And Jesus said, just leave them alone.
That's right.
If they're not against us, they're for us.
Right.
There's a lot of folks out there that may not do things exactly the way we do it. There's some folks out there doing wrong. But there's a lot of folks out there that are doing right, but they don't do it exactly the way we do it. And we don't have to try to straighten them out.
Amen.
We don't have to try to fight them.
Right.
We don't have to try to destroy their ministries.
Right.
We don't have to try to put their name on the front page of our little publication.
Right.
We just leave them alone. Pray for them.
Right.
Lord, show them where they're not doing right. But if they're not against us, they're for us.
Right.
If they're winning souls,
right,
just leave them alone.
Right.
I mean, good grief. If you're on a battlefront and the enemy is coming over the hill, and the Hoopin' Indians are coming over the hill and a bunch of mountain men come out of the hills and they join in the fight and they help kill some Indians for you, I say, great. They may not wear the uniforms like we do. They may not fight just right. They may not load their guns just the way we do. They might not even shoot as straight as we do. But I bet if they take a few Indians out, that'd be a good thing.
That's right.
That'd be a good thing. A good soldier fights the enemy, not his comrades. Now, sometimes you got some enemies disguised as comrades. You know what you do when you find those? You shoot them. I'm not saying everybody says their comrades are comrades. You got to shoot some of them traitors once in a while. I used to hear this statement all the time. You know, a Christian army is the only one that shoots its wounded. I said, well, yeah, but you know, we're not the only army that shoots our traitors. Anyway, just the thought. Number 12. To a good soldier, victory for his kingdom is more important than victory for himself. That kind of goes along with the other thought we talked about before, where the mission is more important than the individual to a good soldier. Say, well, you know, I could do something for the cause of Christ, but it might not be best for me. Well, you know what? A good soldier is more concerned about the cause of Christ than he is his own little life going around. Good soldier, this should go without saying, a good soldier is ready to give his life. I think there needs to be a little bit more truth in advertising with military recruiting. Because they never, ever, I have never seen a commercial for the armed forces that says, join the army, you might get killed. But you know, that's what it's all about. Be all you can be. Aim high. Learn a career. Get money for college. Somebody better stop and tell them, you know what? Somebody might shoot a bullet at you while you're here. And when you sign on a dotted line, that means you have offered up your life as a sacrifice for the cause. A good soldier is ready to give his life. I think so often of the martyrs. Well, that's another thing. If you want to just quit your whining,
right,
You get you Fox's Book of Martyrs or The Trail of Blood or one of these books that tells you what the early Christians went through. Thrown to lions, sawed in half, thrown into the arena of gladiators unarmed to face armed soldiers who would just chop them to pieces. Yeah, we have to put up with a lot. Somebody didn't smile at me when I went soul winning and knocked on their door. So persecuted. I don't think I can take this. We got nothing to gripe about. Good soldier's ready to give his life. I have no death wish. I'm hoping, you know, when my first term of service is over, I'm hoping to come back. I'm not, you know, they used to say about Lester Roloff, if he was looking for a fight. He was looking to be a martyr. They said if he was in a room and somebody shot a gun, he'd jump in front of the bullet. I'm not that way. I plan to come back. That's my hope. But you know what? If the Lord decides that I can accomplish more for the cause by taking my life on the mission field, so be it. That's good. If I'm accomplishing something for the cause. A good soldier's ready to give his life. And, you know, giving your life, there's more to giving your life than just dying. You can die to self and give your life. You can die to self and not do what you want to do and do what God wants you to do. You're giving your life.
Amen.
I'm ready to give my life. A good soldier is ready to give his life. A good soldier is glad for the victories of others in his army. There was a problem with the tribe of Ephraim in the Bible. Every time somebody else would win a victory, they would get furious. And they would say, "Why didn't you call us? We could have been in that fight. You should have called us. You know, we're upset because you didn't involve us in that battle. We're mad that you guys had a victory and we didn't." That's a bad attitude.
That's right.
A good soldier is glad when others in his army win a victory.
That's right.
You hear about other churches doing well? You gotta say, "Praise the Lord."
Amen.
Man, I'm glad about that.
Right.
You hear about some pastor that the Lord is blessing? You know, I hear several times while I've been on deputation, some pastor will criticize. You know, this other pastor, you know, he's been in his church about 20 years, and they're building him a nice big new house. Must be nice. Well, man, I'm glad.
Amen.
That sounds like a good thing.
Right.
A good soldier's glad for victories in others in his army.
That's right.
You're on a bus route, and program time comes around, and the other guy gets more points than you do. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That means he got some people at church.
Right.
Got to be glad for that. I mean, do the best you can. Try to win. I'm all for winning. But if somebody else wins, if they're in my army and they're on the same side I'm on, that's good. Good soldier is glad for victories of others in his army. Two more, I'll be done. A good soldier doesn't need to worry about what it costs. The king takes care of that. I have been amazed at the way the Lord has raised our support. You go to missionary school and they tell you all this stuff, you know, you got to make all these plans. And man, I worked the system. I did what they told me to do. You make the phone calls, you write the letters, and you try to line up all these meetings. But you know where I got more than half of my support? Just being in the way, the Lord blessed me. I'd be halfway between, I'd have a scheduled meeting over here. I mean, I worked hours trying to get this meeting scheduled. And I had another scheduled meeting the next Sunday over here. And I worked hard to get that meeting. And halfway in between, just however far I could drive that day, you know, on Wednesday, that's where I'd go to church on Wednesday night. I'd call some guy and say, "Look, it looks like I'm going to be in your town tomorrow. That's about as far as I can drive tomorrow. Is it all right if we just stop and go to church? I don't have anything scheduled." "Well, brother, while you're here, why don't you show your slides? Give a testimony." And the church that the Lord put in my path, that was one that took us on for support. Amen. And the two guys that I worked on so hard, you know, I'm still waiting to hear from them. Happened all the time that way. God takes care of the cost. Who goeth forth to warfare at his own charges? A soldier doesn't buy his own bullets. A soldier doesn't buy his own gun. Doesn't buy his own uniform. King takes care of all that. You don't have to worry about how much it costs. You're doing God's work, he'll take care of the cost. And number 16, a good soldier uses appropriate weapons. And we've been given the most powerful weapon in the world to win a victory. A weapon that, I mean, this is the secret weapon. This is the ultimate weapon right here. The Word of God Almighty. This is the same weapon that created the universe. The Word of God. This is the same weapon that makes it rain. The Word of God. The same weapon that makes the sun come up in the morning. The Word of God. and we carry it around, and we can use it in our warfare.
Amen.
And every time we use it, it works.
Amen.
Every time we use it, it accomplishes the purpose that God intends it to accomplish. Now, it may not always accomplish what we thought it was going to accomplish, but it always, when we use it, it always works. A good soldier uses appropriate weapons. I'm out of time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your army. Lord, thank you that we're on the right side. We're not going to lose. We know what we've read the last chapter.
Yes.
We know we're going to be on the winning side. We are on the winning side. We may seem to lose a battle now and then, but Lord, we know it's all in the master strategy plan. We're thankful we're on a winning side. Help us to be good soldiers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That was a blessing, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. That was a good lesson for us today. Thank you, Brother O. I enjoyed that. Touched my heart. It was good. I read that same article he read in that paper about Brother Vineyard in the Philippines. I had the same reaction he did. Boy, I just bawled and squalled. That'll get to your heart, won't it? And it is hard sometimes, but boy, it's worth it. And I know that's how he feels. You know, he's excited to be going, but it has to be difficult. Say goodbye to these loved ones and friends and relatives. So you be praying for them. Amen. Be praying for them as they get ready to go. All right, let's stand in fellowship. We'll let the next group of folks in and stay for the church service. We'll now start it here just 6 or 7 minutes from now.